Hello, friends from the internet. Welcome back to your favorite, the lovely podcast, Aleli. How are you guys? Hopefully you had a nice weekend and hopefully you enjoyed our previous episodes about Mononoke Hime. And if you haven't heard them, go listen to them. Just a bit of news. We have opened successfully our YouTube channel. So now if you want to listen to the episodes, we will have them also in YouTube. We are in YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, and so much more. I don't know how many more, but like a lot more. Also, the other news for our lovely podcast is that this next month of October, we will have a Halloween month. So it's all Halloween theme. All our episodes are gonna be suggestions from myself to you guys to watch during the Halloween month. Some are longer, some are shorter, some are some mildly movies, some are some nice series. So hopefully you will like it. And don't expect to be something, I will say, scary, because I'm a big chicken, so don't expect me to, like, do reviews from scary movies. Not my type. And well, guys, today we're gonna talk about something really different, something really cool that I watched when it got out, and I really loved it, is Outlast. So Outlast is a reality TV from Netflix that is a competition in the wild. We're gonna talk about some introduction to it, then some teammates and winners, where are they now? And some confirmations and changes are coming. This is gonna be a pretty short episode, but hopefully you will like it. So here we go! The 8-episode series launched on Netflix on March 10. The show had 16 players that are dropped into the wilderness of Alaska with only a few items to survive. While other similar shows may have gone to plan, the players on Outlast are left to survive on their own. The Game Master will airdrop packages and prefix times to help each team. They had 4 teams on the show, was Team Alpha, Team Bravo, Team Charlie, and Team Delta. In the game, they have a no-rule policy, and the only rule that you have to abide to win the game was to be on a team. So that was the hard part. And the winner will get $1 million. So when I started watching this show, I thought like, oh, it's gonna be a survival competition, is which team is gonna last longer, which team is gonna survive the elements. But it had a quite dark twist on the middle of the season. They were starting really good at the beginning, everything was about survival. Then some people got the mental part of it, you know, when you are on survival, you get really depressed or stuff like that. And like, you are on the elements. And Alaska is tough, you know, it's kind of cold, I will say. But it has a lot of other elements. You have to catch your food, you have to survive with what you get. You don't get all the tools to hunt or fish or whatever. I know some of the integrants had bows and arrows because they choose to use those utensils for the show. They had just to pick some stuff. They just pick a specific stuff to be able to play, but they didn't have like everything at disposal. Like, they had to get it. Each episode had a competition on it, you know, like they have a goal and they will put missions to get this fish, get crabs, get whatever, you know. So I will say, guys, if you like survival competitions, just but by the fact of being survival, don't watch this. Or watch it if you like. The main purpose of this is survival, but also all the drama that comes with human life. The series was developed by executive producer Grant Keller. He was a veteran of survival TV, and he previously worked on the History Channel's Alone. If you have seen Alone, Alone is a series literally from survival in Alaska. So it's just not a team, it's one person, and we follow like a bunch of different persons that are alone on their camps, and they have to survive the elements and everything. So during the pandemic, the Alone show was really popular, and streaming services were seeing that kind of show of adventure and survival was getting a lot of views. So they wanted to experiment with it, you know, and that's how Outlast happened. The person that did Alone was having the thought of doing this as a experimental thing. Then Netflix picked it up and put it as a competition show. The executive producer said that I wanted to test survival within a group dynamic, self-preservation and greed versus loyalty to others. They took 4 or 5 months to brainstorm the show, and also they had like a casting period. And during that casting period, they were searching for not your typical survivalist. They were asking for people that could survive to the Alaskan wilderness. It's not you will pick whomever and just throw them out there. They do have to have like some skills. But after that, they were really picking on people that were like lone wolves or really introverted people, so they were more solitude than alone persons, you know. And that was the main goal for this project, for this show that the executive producer said that he wanted. He wanted introverted people to be on a group and see how they developed together, and they had to win as a group. Another thing that Grant Keller said, going into the project, I knew there could be some aggressive behavior because it is a game. People are hungry and freezing, and there is money on the line. But I really thought the goodness of human nature would last, and that people's loyalty to each other and the bond they created would win out in the end. Can you imagine the impression of this guy at the end when he saw the episodes that this was not at all what happened at the end? They were so greedy on this show. Some of the characters on it, we'll not put characters, are people, but like their characters on the show, on these competitions, you know, they get in this weird setup, and I don't know if it is the cameras, I don't know if it's the whole intense competition, because it's an intense competition, and maybe that also made this change happen. But because there was no rules on this show, well, everything went really bad. I cannot say the word, but like went to we see how it was starting a survivalist, and then everyone was just trying to get other teams disqualified by hiding their stuff, throwing their camp tools, destroying their camps altogether, their raft, whatever. They were just trying to break up their spirits and say, like, you have to quit. And when Grant Keller saw all this happening, it happened somehow at the middle of the show, he just said, I wasn't going to change it. Because that was what was happening naturally on the show, and he wanted to show that. For me, it's kind of cool because I love dramatic realities, as you can see. But if you think more of it, it could have gone really bad, or it could have gone a bit excessive. At some points when I was watching it, I was like, this is kind of excessive. There has to be a line drawn. If not, it's the, what are you doing, man? So the story that Grant Keller says is, we were told over walkie-talkies that sabotage and ugliness was going down, and we just had the camera follow the contestants. But we had zero to do with prompting those situations. It was a surprise to all of us, but no, I would never manipulate them or produce a show by telling them to do that. We were flies on the wall for it. I don't think this show was scripted at all, but that was one of the main things that happened, in that everyone was asking about it, because when you see all this ugliness happens all of a sudden and everything is going to another place that what we're supposed to be looking at, everyone was asking this question, is the producer asking them to do this, or was it the will of people on the show? And Rotten Tomatoes is a score as critics, 80%. Critics really love this competition, reality TV, whatever it is. And the audience is at 17%. So from what I have seen on the comments in Rotten Tomatoes, it's not like the audience didn't like it, but it's just that they didn't like how some of the contestants were acting and how we got there. it went from a competition show, like the survival competition show, to a twisted, who is the meanest kind of show. So people were super angry with the show just because since some contestants were really tense, people hated a lot Jill and Amber. I will say me included, just like, I don't hate them, but I didn't like them. And when I saw them doing those things on the show, I was like, why? So right now, guys, we're going to talk about, was it the show scripted or real? So one of the teams talked to some interviewers on Screen Rant, Team Charlie, and they share their take on why they don't like the accusations of the survival competition being scripted. Lots of the participants on the team, Paul and some others, lost like 42 pounds during the time on the wilderness. So like they were saying, if this was scripted, why they will not give me something to eat, you know? Like literally Paul said he would have demanded a Snickers bar. Some others like said that he wasn't an actor. And also Nick revealed that he lost 48 pounds during the time on the wild. So yeah, if you see all this, I will say this show is not scripted. It's just like it got out of hand and it got in another direction. It wasn't scripted for my viewing. What do you guys think? The production outlast, like the crew, was just seen around while filming, and they only got a hand on it when people feel ill or had to be carried off, you know, like when they were like really in dangerous situations. And another incident that raised eyebrows was the Team Delta looking over the camera's crew's equipment to see who stole their sleeping bags. And yeah, so like that was the only moment that the crew helped the situation, but apart from that, I don't think they did something else to give this kind of setting on the show. Now let's talk a little bit about some teammates and the winners. Where are they now? Spoiler alert, I read an interview with one of the candidates that was on Team Alpha, the Jill Hashcock. So Jill was one of the controversial ones, you know. She and Amber Asai, they were like really crazy. These two and Justin, he was also the one on Team Alpha. They started doing the dirty competition, we'll say. They started just destroy camps, get everything from other people, stole stuff. On the interview with Jill, she says that she will not do anything differently, that she's not regretful about what she done, and that she will not change anything. She was doing and playing the game, and she just saw another way to get prize in a faster way than not on survival. She also speaks about what she did to Javier Colon. He was on Bravo Camp. And so she says, the whole point to make with Javier presenting himself as this heroic person that's defending himself against the big bad wolf Jill is that his entire team left him, right? She shared, there are 900 plus hours of footage per contestant, so that's times 16 of footage that was taken the whole time that we were out there, and you guys get to see about 8 hours of them. So with that kind of a statement, she's saying, oh yes, you just saw a part of my behavior, you didn't saw all the footage and the interactions that we had, you just saw the bad thing. But yeah, like, well, she was kind of crazy and he was just alone on his camp. It was really intense. She cannot say that she didn't do it, you know, she wasn't bad. It's like, okay, you did it, just own it. She also says, you have to sleep with what you did out there, and I don't have any guilt for the way I played the game. It was a game. When you play a board game with someone and you hop over someone else's checker and you take their piece, you don't apologize and take them out to dinner because you feel guilty for that. So Jill, I don't know. You cannot compare a survival game into a checkers game. I understand the point of view, and I know that she did whatever she could for getting the game and win, but I don't know, there's other ways, there's less harsh ways, and they were in an environment that's already harsh. She adding more on top of that, it just makes great TV. Other from that, well, just say sorry and be like understandable of what he lived through. I also read something about Team Charlie. So Team Charlie had an interview with Tudum and said that me, Paul, and Seth were all ready to die out there. I'm dead serious. We were ready to die or get evacuated because we would not go home or fire that gun. So Team Charlie was really serious on this game. They were one of the ones that they were really nice with how they played. They didn't get too drawn into dramatics. They just kept it really like going and just concentrating on surviving. Hopefully you get to see this and you get to see how everything played out. I don't want to give too much details so that doesn't get too much spoiled for you. But yeah, where are the winners now? If you don't want to hear this part, just keep it until our last part, that is the confirmation and changes that are happening. Skip it if you don't want to hear about this. But yeah, where are the winners now? Former US Marine Seth admitted that when he first went, just got like a ham sandwich, and that was his whole moment, his whole prize of winning all the competition, because he was so hungry, he was just so tired. But after he won, he didn't need so much big change, you know, like he still lives in Winchester, Virginia with his family, and he recently hiked the Appalachian Trail. Same for Paul. Paul still lives in Knoxville, Tennessee with his family, continuing his tradition of hunting and bringing home fresh meat for them to eat. And he joins excursions of bow hunting and outdoors teaching young people on it. Nothing really weird or really fancy. He said that Paul also launched his own podcast. It's called The Horns. And he was joined on the first episode by his teammates, Seth, Nick, and Angie Kenai. As you see later in the game, Angie had an incident, but yeah. If you have heard of this podcast or if you have listened to it, can you let me know on the comments? What did you think about it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And lastly, Nick, the Florida-based teacher, is still teaching English in Palm Harbor University High. He's still the school wrestling coach. He said that he recently solo climbed Mount Shasta, traveled through the Pacific Northwest, the Sierra Nevadas, the Rocky Mountains, and other areas of the United States. And that's it. That's where the winners are in their lives. And finally, season 2 is confirmed and maybe has changes. So, just so you know, Netflix announced that the show Outlast will have a second season. Just so you know, expect it. I don't know when. See where, like on their documents, it doesn't say when it's gonna get out. It says that the season 1 was number 6 Netflix weekly global top 10 TV English list and reached the top 10 TV in 27 countries. On one of the pages that I saw, it says that an executive producer of Netflix is saying that there have to be some changes for the show to return. So the no rule game format has to change because of the twist that happened and everything. And they don't want it to get really crazy on future seasons, because so many people have been saying that if contestants for this future show seeing this first season, how it happened and how it got the contestants so far playing this way, there will be others in the future seasons that will play this way or worse, or it can get worse. You never know what people can do. That's why they gonna try to put more rules in place. It's a speculation. We still don't know. The executive producer of the show, Grant Keller, said one thing that could be said to change for future Outlast episodes is the blanket no rules thinking. to prevent potentially dangerous situations occurring as the players have their eyes on the $1 million prize. I think the producers saw this and was thinking of changing it to not getting bad. Many of the Netflix viewers were underlining the theme of morality, how it got so out of control. That's one of the main concerns for Netflix. If the seasons are gonna be in the future, more of them, they will have to have some rules. So that's everything for this competition show. If you watch it, let me know. What do you think? Did you like it? Which characters did you like the most? Which did you like best? Yeah, let me know in the comments. What do you think? That's it for today, guys. Hopefully you like the episode. I said it before, we are going into the Halloween month, so expect some stuff to be happening. Go follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, and also follow us on Instagram. You can message us there. Let me know if you have suggestions or requests for an episode. Please follow us. I will try to do some questions on which themes do you prefer for Halloween. Go tune up on my Instagram page. It's at Aleli de Colores. If you don't understand what I'm saying, just go down to the link on the webpage and you will get there. See you next time, guys. Enjoy your day. Bye, friends.